Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. Preceding these verses, the writer of the Hebrews is reminding the people of the ancestors that went before them and the faith and the hope that they had in the promises of God. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land they had left behind, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Reading of the Word of God. Thank you.
I believe in Lent. Some people ignore the church calendar and want Holy Week or even Easter itself to suddenly appear without any preparation. But the more we meditate on what Jesus Christ has done for us by dying on the cross in our place, the more appreciative we will be of what he has done, and the more likely we are to give him the worship and the service, and the words are the same in Hebrew, that he alone deserves. And because we're all prone to mental blocks, preachers try to describe the crucifixion in new ways. This year I'm calling the series for Lent, The Cost of the Purchase. A priceless treasure was purchased for us by Christ on the cross. As great as it is that he died for us, the expense to Jesus, the most perfect man who ever lived, and more than that, was even greater. He was the last one we should have asked to make so many and such great sacrifices. Yet he did so freely, knowing that unless he did, we were lost. The very nature of faith means believing in something more than what we can see. That's how we don't get discouraged when situations or circumstances appear to be bleak. When you run into hard times, it's easy to get discouraged. But for the Christian, they only appear to be bleak. As Skip read for us from Hebrews, we don't pin our hopes on this world. The old song went, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." To follow Jesus Christ is to live in this world thoroughly. But to determine from the outset to make heaven the home of our hearts. The irony is, if Jesus had not given up his home in heaven, we would be eternally earthbound or worse. The cost to Jesus of purchasing heaven for us was the expense of his heavenly home. And the further irony is, that when he did come at the event we call Christmas, the one who dwells in unimaginable splendor above couldn't even get a room at the local bed and breakfast. Perhaps you know the song.
You left your throne and your kingly crown when you came to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for your holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart.
We should never restrict being thankful for Jesus coming to earth to only the Advent Christmas season. Mary and Joseph each knew from angel visits at least something of the astounding importance of the baby they were looking at that night in Bethlehem. But no one else in town had a clue. Irony? Outside of town, however, in a pasture on a hillside, the news was being spread by none other than the winged messengers of God.
Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming your royal degree. But in lowly birth you came to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee.
Well, it shouldn't really surprise us then that this one who gave up the greatest home of all lived without an earthly home throughout the 3 years that highlight his path on this side. I invite you to listen to our gospel reading from Luke chapter 9. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." It shouldn't really surprise us, but it does, that Jesus didn't have a home. We talked about the homeless, your confirmation students, and the young women participating in Sarah's Heart and Soul Makeover Bible study, traveled to New Bedford this week to prepare and serve food to the members of the homeless community there. It's a large homeless community in New Bedford. Our host pastor reminded us that many of the people there have deep personal faith, and we saw that. Mary Lou was praying with Aaron that night, and it really touched her, and he touched many of us. The homeless are people, not objects. Our Lord was homeless. I'm not sure there's a more vivid example of when we do the song I'm working through here a disservice by only singing it in December than this next verse.
The foxes found rest and the birds a nest in the shade of the forest tree. But your couch was the sod, O Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee.
And it embarrasses me, as I expect it embarrasses you, that this was the pattern the human race played out for the entirety of Jesus' life. Lord, when did we see you without a home and did not take you in? In Godspell, the next line is, "Lord, if we'd known it was you, we'd have taken you down to Sandy's for a cup of coffee." Or whatever the local coffee shop is when you're doing the show. It's all too easy to say, "Oh, we would have done it differently." The reality is we cross the line from being, or we do, cross the line from being inhospitable to downright cruelty. He said if we deny him before men, he'll deny us before the Father. Yet we know that if we had been alive at the time, we would have, like the 12, abandoned our Savior in his hour of greatest need.
You came, O Lord, with the living word that should set your people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore you to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee.
He purchased our heavenly home at the cost of his own. He wanted you to be with him forever in a place that beats this old world hollow. God knows you. He knows that you were made for something better than a world that would kill the Son of God. Yet he also knows that each one of us have been warped by sin. We're not unwitting victims. We're conspirators. We needed a Savior. So Jesus came, took on himself our brokenness, and exchanged it in that act for a justified and ransomed soul. Fitted for heaven, not by any good that we could do, but by the extravagant generosity of his self-sacrifice. The cost he paid freely. Of course, Jesus rose from the dead. The gift of the cross would not have been effective if it had not defeated death. Jesus returned to his heaven. He sent his Spirit to live in us, to empower us, to assure us. He speaks to the Father on our behalf, in our defense. And he's at work today, though often unseen. The day is coming when Jesus of Nazareth will once again give up his heavenly home. In speaking to some grieving early Christians, in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep in him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words."
When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at your coming to victory, let your voice call me home, saying, "Yet there is room, there is room at my side for me." And my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when you come and call for me.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving up your heavenly home so that we could have one. Thank you, Lord, for the price that was paid that we could not pay ourselves. This is grace, and we are amazed. Please forgive us our complacency in the face of your extraordinary sacrifice. Help us to pour ourselves out in service to the one who poured himself out for us. Help us to live our lives as offerings of thanksgiving in our everyday lives, and in how we serve together as believers, even in our meeting today. Lord, if there's anyone here who has not given you the keys to their heart. Pray you might lead them to that place now. For in giving of ourselves to you, we find freedom. Holy Spirit, come, continue to do your work. Shape us to be fully yours. We ask it in Jesus' name. And I just encourage you that the prayer corner will be open with folks there to pray with you. And I hope you'll be taking advantage of that. For any need, whether it's a decision to follow or a special need in your heart, in your life. In closing, I've decided to follow Jesus. You have made for us a home with you. Help us to bring others to share this home. For the homeless in body and the homeless in soul. Make us your messengers for Jesus' sake. Amen.